The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by Marquee Sports Network.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. I'm not Waddle, nor am I Sylvie. Neither is my good friend Brian Hanley. But it's McKnight and Hanley.
We both have our shirts on, too. Waddle's been known to go without a shirt occasionally.
Well, I mean, you know, if you had everything he has going on, Brian, I mean, would you be a lot younger, too.
Yeah.
nice to hear from you, my man. Great to talk to you. It's Brian Hanley, Connor McKnight. In for Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, a pleasure.
Boy, you guys, I mean, Jesse, you know, 5 cups of coffee today? I mean, he's on fire.
1,000 miles an hour, my friend. There is speed for that man.
If Chris Bryant's 50 cents on the dollar, Shelby Miller, what are we getting for him?
He is, Shelby Miller is the... He's the you know how when you do your end of your taxes, Brian, you actually have to write off the savings, your savings account, the interest that you get there, and it's like 9 cents.
Yeah. 9 cents, four cents, whatever.
But I have to report that to the federal government, otherwise they come after me. That's where you're at with Shelby Miller.
Yeah, I just looked in my checking account. I got 4 cents interest, and I got a $15 service fee because I didn't have enough money in the account for the month.
That's exactly how it goes. Yeah. That's every single time.
Yeah. Well, Shelby Miller, I mean, here's hoping it's 2013. I'll even take 2015. I'd like to be 5 years younger. Sure. He'll be an all-star this year. I loved what Jesse just said. Are there any Cub fans left out there? I mean, thank God we're the home of the White Sox. The one team in town that's got all the buzz going, and rightfully so. I mean, it's just like we're how many years removed from a World Series, and now it's like last Cub fan out of Wrigley Field, turn off the lights, or I guess when you're allowed back in. I mean, and turn down as Sully would say, turn down the audio system because you can hear it up in Lake Forest.
That's right. I think it's interesting. And even, you know, Brian, I don't know how deep you get on like the, you know, like underground international signee Twitter followings and stuff. But there's more heat around the White Sox right now. We're not really exactly sure what it is, but there's plenty of people that have, you know, maybe more on the international signing thing after bringing in Colas and Yoelki Cespedes and Norge Vera and stuff like that.
I mean, think about why not go to the well, keep going there until it comes up dry, right? I mean, even the Blackhawks are better now going over to Europe and finding professional guys who are still 23, 24 and bringing them over here. And they're technically rookies in the NHL, but they're professionals, right? I mean, so if it works to go to Latin American countries and getting guys at 16, 17 and developing them or even 18, 19, why not?
Well, you know what it is, Brian, at least for me, whether it's the Blackhawks thing, whether it's the White Sox here and now, or whether it's the Cubs painting the other kind of example, is that once you get to a point in professional sports where you're pushing for championships, where you've got expectations to go win, that doesn't mean that you can let aside some of the things that build up the next wave of talent that comes into your major league roster, whether you're baseball or football or what have you. You can't just keep on pressing all in, all in, all in over and over again, because then you end up where like the Saints are right now, or you end up where the Cubs kind of feel right now. If everything goes bust on you, you have to continue to build those lower levels because that's how you supplement some of the talent. Injuries happen, and you cannot take your foot off the gas, especially in Major League Baseball. Look at the Dodgers. Their calling card is having three guys after their starting shortstop comes down or goes down to go ahead and hit baseballs for you. That's how you win titles.
And the Padres are trying to become, you know, even with the Dodgers, and they're holding on to their top prospects as they make these trades and great signings, right? So, you know, you look what the Cubs got in return for Yu Darvish, and it wasn't any of their top 10, top 15 prospects, and they're all 16, 17-year-old kids, and here's hoping one of them actually turns into something. Mm-hmm. But in this offseason, given what you guys were just talking about, how no one wants a $19.5 million Chris Bryant, And by the way, Scott Boras still think he's going to get a long-term $30+ million deal for a guy who's been hurt and out of the lineup. And you know, God bless Chris Bryant. Everyone roots for him. But the realities of baseball right now are that the pandemic and no fans in the stands and all the revenue lost. It's awful tough for guys coming out of contract or hoping for their first really big payday, even though 19.5 is nothing to sniff at. No one's talking about $300 million deals anymore, right? In baseball.
No. And I feel bad for Chris Bryant. I know that, I've been dogged on Twitter for it and I don't mind whatsoever, but I'm still a Chris Bryant guy. I still think there's a good ball player in there. I don't think Chris Bryant's been healthy for quite some time. And I think that matters. Right. And like you, I'm not, the Bryant family will be fine. He'll pull in 19.5 next year and that's all well and good. But I do feel bad for a player like that who had, his service time kind of played with as was allowed in the rules, who through circumstances outside of his own won't hit the big payday that he probably could have had otherwise. Had he not been hurt? Had he not, it's weird. There's so many things about this Cubs team that should never be forgotten. They should never buy a beer in this town again. They should never pay for a meal in this town again, but it's hard to not feel like that team is somewhat star-crossed, I guess.
Are the 85 Bears still paying for me or still getting free meals and free beers?
I don't think so. They should, right? Don't they?
Yeah.
They all drink for free, right?
Well, boy, I've seen a few of them. It's been a while now. It's like with the Bulls, even when I was covering the Bulls, 2005 to 2010, I kept thinking, there's a little dust on those championship trophies right there at the Berto Center, right? 1998 being the last one. It's and circling back to even the New Orleans Saints, when I know you asked, what Drew Brees's, football obit would be or what would be the lead in trying to capture his career. I mean, think about for all his successes and all the eye-popping numbers and 15 years and all that. Think about how many Super Bowls and what should have been and could have been, especially the last 4 or 5 years, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a team that's as much marked by last-minute losses in the playoffs as it is the title that they won. That's really interesting, Brian. I hadn't put them in, the same context as the Cubs, and certainly it's not quite there, but there were demons exercised by that Super Bowl title. I mean, given everything that – and it's become, it's become kind of rote to talk about how the team lifts the city and stuff like that. Maybe it is, maybe it doesn't. It's a football championship after all. But I think for that town, that city, and that time, and that player, I think there were a lot of things tied to it. I think there were a lot of emotions and kind of, withdrawal kind of placed into it that really did matter.
And I know your guest talked about he would lead off with what Brees meant to that community. Drew Brees has caught a lot of flack on social media for some of the organizations that he's a part of and for some of the things those organizations stand for, even though he said he didn't necessarily share set opinions or whatever. Going back to Deshaun Watson, though, I mean, talk about community. Did I see correctly today that he had to go to Twitter? I saw on Twitter that he was telling, hey, don't have any marches in my name today. Don't march on the football offices of the Texans I'll be okay. And he said, with COVID and everything else, we don't need people, getting too close to each other and marching in the name of Deshaun Watson. I mean, can you imagine in this city is passionate as Chicago fans are about their sports that you could actually get a march going to keep a player here? I don't think MJ could have gotten that done, could he?
No, I really don't think so, especially now. Like, it's cold. There's a virus everywhere.
It's cold.
I'm
it's
not
gray.
Out there.
Yeah, yeah. Deshaun, I'll march around my basement with a sign that says keep Deshaun, but I'm not coming outside.
Well, what are you, welcome in Brian Hanley to the Waddle and Sylvie show here on an MLK Monday. I love having you. I just, we talked a lot about Deshaun Watson in the first hour of the show, obviously because of the ties to the Bears, because it's a huge NFL headline. We heard from Adam Schefter on Get Up earlier just about how really terrible the situation is between, you know, the quarterback, the organization. I hesitate to say the general manager because he's, you know, what's he had the job, 36 hours, 72
yeah,
hours,
I don't
something
think
like
he's
that.
Unpacked yet, yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't think he has any idea where the bathrooms are. but still, you now have this storyline that is going to dominate a playoff run. And it's exactly where the NFL wants their product, you know, top of the headlines. You've got two great games coming up on a championship Sunday, plus one of the most dynamic talents in the league wants to get traded. This is money making time, money printing time for the NFL right now. They love this going on.
You know, it's interesting, Connor, because in the NBA, it's become completely a players' league, right? Where players go to their agents and say, or we see the recruiting, it's been going on, and unfortunately, the Bulls usually end up as the bridesmaid, right? They go out and wine and dine LeBron and whomever and D-Wade and all that. And no, thanks for the nice meals and all, but we're not coming. But it's actually where players' agents create the trades. They go out and talk to other agents and get a trade going, and then bring them back to the GM. And if the organization is willing and able and they think it makes sense for the team, they sign off on it and the deals are done. Now, the NFL's not like that. The NHL certainly isn't like that. Baseball hasn't become that. But it is going to be interesting to see. And we saw Jay Cutler, you know, force his way out of Denver all those years ago and unfortunately landed here. And it was considered a miraculous deal by Jerry Angelo. But Deshaun Watson, I mean, he holds all the cards here, right? I mean, you cannot have a disgruntled franchise quarterback there. But it is going to be interesting because now the owner says he'll keep him in the loop. But it's a fine line to walk where, you know, the old school is players play, managers manage, coaches coach, and managers manage, right? GMs manage. And everyone knows which side of the line they should stay on. Like I said, the line's been obliterated in the NBA. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And I'd love to think Deshaun Watson's going to end up here in Chicago. But as you guys talked about, and we will continue to talk about, it just doesn't seem like the Bears have the resources to get the deal done. And that goes right back to Ryan Pace, who thought defense still wins championships in the NFL. And you look at every offensive statistical category and look at the teams remaining in the playoffs, and they're all offensive juggernauts. I mean, don't tell me Tampa's defense was the difference. You know, Drew Brees threw three interceptions, but they're all about offense in Tampa, Kansas City, certainly, Green Bay. And you know, you move on. Buffalo, Baltimore is sitting on the sidelines. Also, the elite defenses just took a seat the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and even the Bills, you're absolutely right. Look at the quarterback names that are in this. Look at the points scored that are in this. Even the Bills, who did not have a great offensive day, you don't have to watch 16 games of Buffalo Bills football to realize that the game they put up against the Ravens offensively, that's the fluke, and that there is a much better offensive team in that. There is a much, and I don't know what weather's going to look like in Kansas City next weekend. It's probably not very good, but weather allowing, you're going to have a lot of points, I think, in that football game. Well, Brian Hanley.
Real quickly, the Bills, Bucks, Packers, Chiefs, all top five in about four or five different offensive categories, and here's Ryan Pace in Chicago, you know, getting going out and making a huge deal for Khalil Mack, who had a great first year, not so much lately, and Robert Quinn. I mean, he's all about the defense, and now you're trying to rebuild the offense with paper and paper clips and scissors and not much to go with.
Yeah, it's you can't MacGyver an offense in this NFL. It doesn't work that way. You can't do it. And if you are going to do it, it's Andy Reid for a quarter and a third with Chad Henne, who understands that system and has the weapons that they do. That's how that works, and you don't really do it again. That's how that happens.
Amen.
He's Brian Hanley. I'm Connor McKnight. This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Deshaun Watson wants out of the Houston Texans organization. Is he going to get his way? Where is he going to land? And what sorts of things could the Chicago Bears do to fix the quarterback situation if it's not Deshaun Watson? We'll talk about that. We'll take some phone calls, too. We got Pete on the line. We'll take him next. This is ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Connor McKnight and Brian. Brian Hanley in for Waddle and Sylvie this afternoon on ESPN 1000. Lovely to have you with us. A pleasure as always. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. You can follow us on Twitter as well. Gotta love that. At C1 McKnight. Follow Brian too. He's at Brian. And now I've, you know what, Brian? This is total radio rookie mistake. I wrote down your Twitter handle and now I've lost it because I'm foolish. I'm a child. And I've lost it.
At Brian Hanley 534.
I knew that's what it was. At Brian Hanley 534. Follow us all on Twitter and make fun of me for it. Deshaun Watson, the topic of conversation throughout the NFL, and that's despite a pretty good slate of divisional round play yesterday and the day before. Brian, let's say we get out to the phone lines right off the top and let Frank drive the car for a little bit. Frank's on the south side. What's up, Frank?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
I just wondered, what do you actually think Deshaun Watson's worth in trade value? Are we talking a 1, 2 ones, 3 ones? Like, what would you be giving up to get him?
Sure, Frank. Appreciate the phone call, my man. For what it's worth, and Brian, I'm sure you've seen, and we talked about it a little bit when Jesse was on for the first 2 hours of the show.
Yeah.
Mike Sando of The Athletic wrote up a handful, five, in fact, kind of prospective trades. These aren't necessarily things he's reporting that teams would give up for Deshaun Watson.
But things that make sense in his mind, right?
Yeah. Eyeballing some stuff, as it were. He's got one where Watson goes to the Jets. The Jets get Deshaun Watson and Randall Cobb. The Texans get Sam Darnold. Two firsts and a handful of other picks, a third and a fourth in 2022 and 2023. Three firsts, in fact, from the Jets in that one. Two firsts in a mock trade with the Dolphins, plus Tua Tagovailoa. Two firsts in a trade with the Falcons, and no players going back there. Two firsts from the Lions, and then some.
And Matt Stafford, right?
And Matt Stafford, absolutely true. And then this one to the Niners is a really interesting one for me because I love that coaching staff over there. I absolutely adore what they're capable of doing and the innovation they like to play with.
Look who they did it with too. And look, they had to do it on the road, even their home games. I mean, look what you want to talk about adversity and getting through a pandemic and overcoming obstacles. And boy, Kyle Shanahan and that staff. Oh my, what a job they did.
There's so much fun. And that defense played pretty well, even without Nick Bosa and having given DeForest Buckner to the Colts. I mean, they still played fairly well despite all of the injuries and all of the COVID problems they had. This trade from Sando of The Athletic, the Niners get Deshaun Watson. The Texans get Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Bosa, who I assume would need to be healthy. Yeah. A 2021 first and a 2022 second that could go up given, you know, escalators in Watson's play, I assume. The money attached to Watson is, you know, it's hefty dollars, right? It's a 2021 price tag of 10. It's a 2022 of 35. It's a 23 of 20. I mean, these are big, big dollars. And, you know, Brian, we see quarterbacks with big price tags advance in Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, who will have a very large price tag. But we see roster building work in the NFL where that quarterback on his rookie deal allows a GM to go all sorts of crazy with guys like Khalil Mack or Robert Quinn or other, you know, even Allen Robinson to a certain point. I can't help but think that if I had my, to just rip a Rick Hahn word, if I had my druthers, I'd try and build a team that way with the rookie quarterback that I really like and can supplement the roster around. But shoot, if you got Deshaun Watson out there, you got a franchise definer is what you have.
Well, and here's the problem. You didn't have the rookie quarterback contract. You didn't have the quarterback who you could have made hay with in Mitch Trubisky. And we can argue all day whether, you know, the Mitch Trubisky fan club will say that Matt Nagy did him no favors and actually hindered his development. Be that as it may, he looks like he is taillights from here. He's out of here and probably happy to be so. So you don't have a quarterback to give back to the Texans. You're drafting 20th overall this year. So you finally paid off the debt on the Khalil Mack draft picks, and you have limited resources with which to engineer a deal. Now everyone's saying, well, Texans don't want to trade to an AFC team, so maybe the Bears can hopscotch a few teams. they're going to take the best deal. I mean, I know what their wish would be not to see him in the AFC, but if the best deal or deals that are on the table are from the Jets or whomever, Miami, they're going to take – that's a franchise-changing deal. So you can't sit there and say, well, I just don't want him in my conference. You have to take the best deal that's on the table no matter.
Yeah, and if you're Nick Caserio who's just coming over there to be the GM for the Texans after, you know, an apprenticeship under Bill Belichick, I kind of am of the belief, Brian, and I don't know where you sit on this, that Caserio probably goes into that Texans situation understanding that things aren't great between Deshaun Watson and management.
If he doesn't know that, then, you know, he's,
right? I mean, I know. This is, if I knew it, you know, a year ago and you knew it, then I would imagine that Nick probably had a heads up on his way into the facilities on an interview morning. Right. So you can't let yourself be handcuffed by, well, we got to see the Jets next year. We just can't have the hell with that. You take the draft picks, you take their offsetting cap. You know, hit whatever contract it is that you want. I don't know if I'm really interested in Sam Darnold if I'm the Texans and I'm trying to build. If I just need a warm body for whomever I'm taking in the first round, I suppose you could do that. He's cheap, but you can't concern yourself with who you're trading with. No. You just
and
can't.
By the way, you know, if you're Deshaun Watson, okay, so you have the no trade clause and you have that in your pocket. So, yeah, I'm willing to waive that, but I'm going to tell you the teams I want to go to, so start talking to them. What's attractive about here in Chicago? You have half an offensive line. You have a serviceable to good running back in Montgomery. You know, what are you going to do with Allen Robinson? Tag him and make him unhappy? You know, he wants $20-plus million for a long term and doesn't look like they have the wherewithal to get that done. So – and on the defense, it's an aging defense. I mean, Deshaun Watson just spent the last season and a half running for his life, right? And having no one to throw to in this year in particular. So what weapons does he have here to get him excited? You know, Cole Kmet, I mean, Jimmy Graham's not going to be here and, you know, whatever. And Tariq Cohen, I mean, what do you have here to make him excited about coming to Chicago?
Well, at least you've got the reinforced belief in Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, who are in a win or you're out. Oh, wait, no, that's never good either. You don't.
No, right.
I mean, this is the amazing part about where the Bears have kind of set themselves. You can make your argument, if you'd like, for keeping Matt Nagy and for keeping Ryan Pace for another season. I'm not necessarily, you know, going to buy that argument. Bears fans don't necessarily have to buy that argument. But there is an argument, right? You'll grant me that. Still, you're setting against yourself this force that is last year of a contract, win or go home. You know, those are decisions and kind of trends that typically have coaches and GMs overreaching and not really coming up with the number of wins that gets you into the postseason. Or I guess if you come up 8-8, they certainly don't get you a win in a playoff game.
Right. And so Ryan Pace, desperate as he is to save his job and maybe start the clock, reset the clock on his own career here in Chicago, does find a way. I don't know how many 5 years deep he goes to draft picks. I mean, who's going to be the check and balance when he comes to George McCaskey and overpays for Deshaun Watson, if that's possible? And it is possible, right? Because, well, I didn't get it right the first time, but watch me now. I got Deshaun Watson for you. And that sounds really great in the short term and long term, but all of a sudden you're going next 3 years and starting drafting in the third round, fourth round, or whatever, and you've got an aging defense, and you've got, you know, tell me how you're going to get your tackles upgraded this year too.
Oh,
it's an interesting, you know, he's painted himself into this corner, and to your point, I said on the Bears pregame show with Fred Huebner, after the 3-game win streak, that's probably enough for the McCaskies and everyone in House Hall to save everyone's job. If you were looking for a rationale, a reason to rationalize why everyone sticks around, that they could go to their Zoom meeting and say it with a straight face, and that's exactly what they did.
How many run it back teams in the NFL succeed after a 6-game losing streak in a season?
Yeah,
I mean, no, they don't.
The old
story, they don't.
The older rule of thumb, was a three-game losing streak gets people fired. It does. In the NFL, if you lose three, yeah, double it. But no one was penalized for the six-game losing. It was like they were innocent bystanders for that.
Well, but it's a pandemic, Brian. I mean, you know,
the bottom-feeding defenses. And by the way, when they're 5-1, and everyone who was watching closely, like you and I, and every Bears fan was like, wow, I know they're 5-1, but boy, I'm watching this stuff, and they don't feel like 5-1. And that's when Matt Nagy's like, oh, you're not going to be negative. You're not going to ruin this. We're going to have the club dub, and don't go negative on me. He didn't want to hear it, but you were watching it going, boy, they're lucky they're 5-1.
I mean,
and then they go with the six-game losing streak.
If I cover baseball and I can smell the smoke and see the mirrors after 5-1 on that Bears team, then everybody can. And we're in this situation over and over again, it feels like, where the Bears don't have a quarterback and they got to go ahead and find one. I wonder how they're going to do it this time. We'll talk about the potential, I suppose, of Deshaun Watson coming to Chicago with Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for ESPN. She's got the inside scoop on what has gone very, very wrong between one of the league's brightest stars and his, well, probably soon-to-be former team. He's Brian Hanley. I'm Connor McKnight. This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight and Brian Hanley in for the afternoon. We're joined by Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for ESPN NFL Nation. You can find her on Twitter at Sarah Barshop. She is a Marquette University graduate. So is Brian Hanley. So as a Wisconsin graduate, I'm going to do my best to not feel super awkward and, you know, just be put out of this whole thing. Sarah,
ring
thanks
out
so
Ahoya,
much.
Sarah. Ring out Ahoya.
Man, you both.
Sarah, I didn't know
for
this. I'm very excited. What a great start to this interview.
Yeah, greatness everywhere. MU grads everywhere. And I know that Jesse was giving Connor grief for being a Madison, a UW grad, and having Wisconsin allegiances to the Packers. But that's a story for a different day.
Yeah, and I'm very familiar, as a Wisconsin grad, very familiar with never quite getting the quarterback situation worked out, which is where we find the Bears perpetually and something that the Texans are working on now. Sarah, just how rough are things between the Texans and their quarterback, Deshaun Watson? And I guess, as best you can, how did we get here?
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. And I think this kind of all started at the end of the season when Deshaun Watson is doing his end of season press conference. And he says, no, we need a whole culture shift. We need a leader. We need someone to come in. And, you know, he had talked previously about how the owner, Cal McNair, they had a dinner together and they had talked. And he said, you know, I'm looking forward to kind of giving input on this process. Well, let's fast forward. He's in Mexico on vacation. And he finds out the Texans have hired a general manager. And he had had a couple conversations with McNair. But from what I've been told, Deshaun had kind of the impression that he was going to have a little bit more input and at least get a talk to the finalists, even if they didn't go with who he wanted. And I'm not sure who that is. I'm not sure if he had a general manager candidate in mind, but I've been told that he, you know, was interested in the process. And since then, it's kind of all played out with reports. He has not spoken. He had a couple tweets, but he has not spoken about what had happened. We heard from Cal McNair a little bit because he spoke when they at Nick Caserio's introductory press conference, and he had said he hadn't heard back from Deshaun. Since then, he said they've exchanged text messages, but from what I've been told, it's still a pretty icy relationship. Just because one, the Texans are saying, "Hey, you're under contract for 5 more years. You know, let's try and repair this relationship." And so far, Deshaun Watson just isn't happy with the way things have been run this offseason and wants to see change. And I think it goes back to that culture shift comment he made in his end-of-season press conference. So that's kind of where we are right now. They've done a lot of head coaching interviews, and Cal McNair said that he wants Deshaun Watson's input on that. But it'll be interesting to see what direction they go and whether that will make an impact with how things are with Deshaun right now.
So, Sarah, it seemed like it was about a month ago that J.J. Watt went on about a 5 or 6 minute. It wasn't a rant. He was very matter of fact about it. But he called out everyone. I mean, he called out, just as you alluded to, the culture of the locker room or the team. Now, you know, this is a fine line, but here in Chicago, everyone got to stick around because the culture is so great that every other team in the league wants to follow the Bears blueprint on collaboration and happiness. But ultimately, it's a win now league and a win and try to win every year. J.J. Watt seems to be as unhappy as anyone. So how bad is it there? And if you had to kind of handicap it, have they both played their last snap for the Texans at this point?
I think it's pretty bad. I think J.J. Watt has, and I don't know that that has as much to do with the culture as that. I think at this point and where the Texans stand, it makes sense for them to part ways. He has 1 year left on his contract. He's owed $17.5 million. That money isn't guaranteed. But most importantly, he wants to win now. And earlier in the season, he said, you know, I'm not interested in a rebuild. It's no secret. I don't have 10 years left. He said, I feel like I have a couple great ones, but, you know, I am not interested in a rebuild. And at the end of the season, I asked him, do you feel like this is a rebuild? And he said, well, it depends on some decisions that are made this offseason. I think it's too early to tell. So far, it can't be good for him looking at this from afar. Because, you know, if you anger your star quarterback, probably not a good thing for the culture. But I do think that they might find somewhere else for him. I just don't think it makes sense for either side to keep him if he wants to go win somewhere, because I don't think that this is a team that is going to be competing for a Super Bowl next year. Not next year, maybe not the year after that, even with Deshaun Watson. But I don't think Deshaun Watson has played his last snap for the Texans. I think maybe it'll get ugly before it gets better, but I think especially if the Texans talk to him through this head coaching search and not necessarily hire his candidate, but at least give him input and let him talk to the candidates or however they choose to manage that. I think we could see this relationship repair. I just think for as mad as he might be at the Texans, I think the Texans front office also knows that he's a franchise quarterback, and you guys have seen plenty of what, if you don't pick that right franchise quarterback, how it can set your franchise back. So I think they understand how good he is, what he means to this team in this city, and how it would be a huge step backwards if he was gone. So I think maybe it'll take a little bit, but I think ultimately we'll see Deshaun Watson playing for the Texans again.
Yeah, Sarah, I would say this town is intimately familiar with what happens when a team gets the quarterback thing wrong. We get that. I wonder this, though, and you kind of headed me off at the pass here, which I appreciate, because my next question was going to be, what would it take to kind of repair this relationship? And you mentioned that it might take more than the head coach that Deshaun wants. What else then needs to happen in order to, I don't know, I guess mollify this to a point where he's not looking at a camp holdout, if we're even having camp when it comes down to whatever the pandemic holds for us next?
I think it's trust, because from what I've been told, the situation is not just who the Texans hired as general manager, because I don't know if Deshaun Watson had an opinion on who specifically. I heard that he told McNair some candidates. I would think that he probably had more of an opinion on a head coach than a GM. But I just think if he was told by McNair that he was going to have input and then that didn't happen, that trust was broken. And I think that's probably more of the issue that they're facing. Now, I don't know how McNair is going to fix that trust. Maybe it is as simple as hiring the person that Deshaun Watson wants as head coach, or just listening to him during this process. It might be as simple as that. But this, it's a different general manager, but this is also the team that just traded DeAndre Hopkins less than a year ago and gave Bill O'Brien general manager responsibilities and then fired him after 4 games. So I don't think this is a one-time situation, and I think it goes back to what he was talking about, the culture shift. He said, you know, there's no foundation. And I've heard that from a couple other places, people looking inside at this, from the outside looking at this team and saying, what is this team about? You know, they've been around for 19 seasons and they really don't have a culture here. It's kind of something I've heard from inside and outside the building. So I think it starts with getting back on track and finding what that foundation is that Deshaun Watson is talking about. and just, I'm not saying you have to give him control, because I don't think we see a lot of players in this league that do have control over the roster or anything like that. But if he's asking for input and you tell him, yes, he can help, and then you don't go to that, I think that's where it goes wrong. And it's probably easy to see why that trust was broken.
If he does end up getting traded, I know you said you don't think that he's played his last snap. Does it happen as soon as the trade possibilities with March 16th, 17th, or are they going to let this play out and try to keep talking and until they're done talking and realize that Deshaun Watson wants nothing to do with it, and then they trade him, or they just take the best deal at the outset and get this thing moving in March?
I think we could see it kind of pick up around March, and that they'll kind of have from now until then to kind of smooth things over with him. I do think the draft is probably the bigger deadline. Obviously, if you're going to trade him, you need to make sure you're getting those draft picks that you can use this year. You're not, you know, from first round pick to first round pick, but you probably want to make this team better going into 2021. So I think that's probably a bigger deadline, but I don't think the Texans will be in any rush to either make a trade happen or, you know, look at, they certainly won't be taking the first offer they get just to appease Deshaun Watson, because he wants to get out of here, from what I've been told. So I think maybe closer to that draft is what you'd be looking at as the deadline, rather than just the start of the league year.
Sarah, appreciate it. Best of luck navigating through all of those little tendrils back and forth between Watson and the Texans. It could get ugly, but reporters love that kind of stuff at times. It'll be a lot for you to do.
It's been a very interesting offseason so far, for sure.
Sarah, thanks again. She's Sarah Barshop, at Sarah Barshop on Twitter, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Texans. Brian, that's interesting, because she's boots on the ground, so to speak, and kind of saying that Watson may not have played his last snaps for the Texans. I find that very interesting, especially with, you know, how hard things have sounded.
Well,
on
it is
Twitter
interesting.
Other places.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you, if you're Deshaun Watson or any franchise quarterback, be much more interested in your relationship with the next head coach than necessarily you would be with the new GM, right? I mean, the guy you're going to have to, either he's going to have to tailor his offensive system to you, or you're going to have to plug into his system, or you're going to be connected at the hip. So I don't know many QBs in the league would have really good thoughts on GM possibilities, right? I mean,
I think that's right. I think the one wild card there, though, is like what Sarah mentioned, you know, that J.J. Watt's not getting any younger, and maybe parts of that defense has to be dismantled before Watson's ready to go. Well, before that team is ready to go win, even if Watson's there, maybe Deshaun takes just a hard stance and just goes, listen, regardless of the GM, I don't think this team can be in a place to win in 2 years. I'll be 27, 28 by then, depending on when the deadline rolls around. I'm good. I'm out. I'm taillights. I wonder if he'd take that hard a stance.
Well, and the other thing is J.J. Watt called out, basically, guys, he looked around and said, guys are going through the motions. And this was with about 4 or 5 games left in the season. And he called, he basically said, you realize this is a pandemic. People are losing their jobs, being laid off, can't make their mortgage payments, and this is an honor to be in the NFL. It wasn't about one or two guys. I mean, he indicted pretty much everyone on that roster. And that tells you all you need to know about what's going on in terms of a professional approach. Now, again, here at House Hall, they just want to embrace everyone gets along, and there's no finger pointing and kumbaya, and it's great. There's collaboration and any derivative of that word you can come up with. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you don't win here and you don't win down there, but you probably have a much better start if Deshaun Watson sticks around there. You certainly do, than you do here.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned one of the bright shining faces of an organization calling out the culture toward the end of the season. I think we may get into a situation, or a topic rather, exactly like that as it concerns the Chicago Bears when we come back. He's Brian Hanley. I'm Connor McKnight. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000, except we're not Waddle, nor are we Sylvie. I'm Connor McKnight. He's Brian Hanley. We are in until 6, and happy to be here talking a lot of football today with you, because we had a pretty good run of a couple of games on Saturday and Sunday, with more to come on Championship Sunday. The Packers get the Buccaneers. The Chiefs get the Bills. I want Brian, and maybe we'll do it at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, because I want to. We've got the cut, and I want to make sure we play the cut and give it all its proper glory and due and everything. But we were talking with Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for the NFL Network, and culture was brought up quite a bit. And when you have big time players calling out team culture, it garners a whole bunch of headlines. And I think there's probably been a little bit of that conversation going on here in town that hasn't quite gotten the headlines that I maybe think it should. Although, Brian, maybe I'm doing the classic sports radio thing where I'm saying, here's what nobody's talking about, when in fact everybody actually is talking about it. I just can't let it go, I guess, is where I'm at. We'll get to it at the top of the five. I don't know if you've seen this. Have you? I want to do a fun tweet segment with you, Brian. Pro Football Talk, or Pro Football Network, rather, tweeted out, did you know that Jock Peterson, former Dodgers center fielder, and Devontae Adams were on the same high school football team?
I did not know that.
Did you further know? I feel like it's a wonderful life right now. Did you further know? I
feel like we're on the old Johnny Carson show.
Right, exactly. That Jock Peterson was the number one wide receiver, despite the fact that Devontae Adams was on that team when Jock Peterson was a senior and Devontae Adams was a junior.
Who was the quarterback?
I couldn't find it. I've been looking for it all break. I couldn't find it. It reminds me of
Chad Henne.
Yeah, right. It's Chad Henne. No, do you remember John Stocko, former Wisconsin quarterback?
Yes, absolutely.
Good, solid dude, but classic Wisconsin quarterback. Right. He got recruited to Wisconsin because he was throwing to a very, very good high school wide receiver in Minnesota. That would have been Larry Fitzgerald. So Stocko's tape is just chucking up to Fitzgerald over and over again. And Wisconsin's like, yeah, you could come play here if you want. That's fine with us.
Wow.
I love those old high school stories. Those are like, it's like Alex Smith and Reggie Bush being on the same team for a year at Helix High out in California.
And Barry Alvarez's crew didn't send a letter to Devontae or Jacques.
We couldn't recruit those guys.
Yeah.
Is that right? We couldn't do that. Big storyline across the NFL, of course, is Deshaun Watson. We're going to get into the title games, so the championship games, rather, in the 5 o'clock hour as well. I think we will talk a little Bulls basketball, too. We're going to probably talk a little baseball in the 5 o'clock hour as well. But as I mentioned, and I want you to hear this, so we're gonna play it at the top of the hour, some tape from a little while ago, but something that I think needs a little bit more attention as we talk about how the Bears plan on reshaping and rescoping things for the 2021 season. Maybe it'll involve this player, maybe it won't, but this comes from a guy who understands that locker room and has been a big part of it over the last couple of years. We'll play it for him when we come back. It's Waddle and Sylvie, Brian Hanley and Connor McKnight in on ESPN 1000.